Bone-chilling greetings, everyone. The tunes are courtesy of Bobby Mackey and Fading Point, and I, of course, am your host, Tessa Morrow.
Now today it's a different place, all the same with a new face, with strange mysteries hanging in the air. People in their sane minds swear they see you today. Are you looking for the love they took away? Everyone knows that you couldn't bear the pain, so you took your life in the pouring rain.
Thanks for stopping by and making Paranormal Prowlers Podcast part of your morning, day, night, graveyard shift, whenever you listen and wherever you are listening from the mountaintops to the hot desert, from the sandy beaches to cozy resort town, from tiny village to big city, and you guessed it, everything in between, it is absolutely appreciated.
Round of applause. This week's city shout out goes to
Clovis, New Mexico, Belton, Texas, Greenbelt, Maryland, Walthamstow, England, Cresco, Iowa, and Greenfield, Massachusetts. Today we find ourselves on the outskirts of Buxton, North Carolina, which happens to be located in what's called the Graveyard of the Atlantic. A brick lighthouse, it stands tall and proud at this site, Cape Hatteras Lighthouse, or Hatteras Lighthouse. And its 1,250,000 bricks happens to be the tallest lighthouse in the United States and the second tallest in the world, standing at 210 feet. That's pretty damn awesome and impressive in my book. And at one point, when it was constructed at that time, it was the tallest brick lighthouse in the world. But later on, and I know I'm going to say this wrong, Świnoujście Lighthouse, located on the Baltic coast in Poland, well, they beat that by an additional 2 feet, being 212 feet. That would have been annoying to be beat by two lousy feet. Any guesses on which one is the tallest lighthouse in the entire world? The tallest resides in Saudi Arabia, and it's known as the Jeddah Light. And it stands ever so tall and proud at a very impressive 436 feet. And it's still active to this very day. The National Park Service shares that this area is quite dangerous as the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse stands where the Gulf Stream meets with the Virginia Drift, a branch of the Labrador Current that comes from Canada. And due to this, southbound ships find themselves, unfortunately, in the Diamond Shoals, which is an ever so extremely dangerous sandbar that's about 12 miles long. Now, 12 miles, you know, that's a piece of cake, right? If you're in a car, plane, or train. But if you're on a water vessel, I don't care how big or small, and you're in treacherous waters, and you're being thrown around like a rag doll, and let's say visibility is not great at all, can't even see your hand, right? Well, I'm sure those 12 miles must feel like a million miles. The lighthouse that we see today is not the first to call that location home. It was quite the opposite, actually. While the lighthouse we see today is the tallest around these parts, the original was anything but. The original was built in 1802 and was only a measly 90 feet tall. For a lighthouse, that's pretty damn short. And it was due to the shortness of this lighthouse and bad weather conditions and poor lighting from the oil lamp that many found themselves in treacherous situations, and at times, that meant life and death situations. People, they were sick of this so-called lighthouse. 5 decades after it had been built, in 1851, this is what Lieutenant David Porter had to say about Cape Hatteras Lighthouse. Hatteras Light, the most important on our coast, is without doubt the worst light in the world. Cape Hatteras is the point made by all vessels going to the south, and also coming from that direction. The current of the Gulf Stream runs so close to the outer point of the shoals that vessels double as close round the breakers as possible to avoid its influence. The only guide they have is the light, to tell them when up with the shoals. But I have always had so little confidence in it that I have been guided by the lead, without the use of which no vessel should pass Hatteras. The first 9 trips I made, I never saw Hatteras light at all, though frequently passing in sight of the breakers, and when I did see it, I could not tell it from a steamer's light, excepting that the steamer's lights are much brighter. It has improved much latterly, but is still a wretched light. It is all important that Hatteras should be provided with a revolving light of great intensity, and that the light is raised 15 feet higher than at present. 24 steamship's lights of great brilliancy pass this point in 1 month, nearly at the rate of 1 every night, and it can be seen how easily a vessel may be deceived by taking a steamer's light for a light on shore, unquote. Now, in 1862, the Hatteras Lighthouse would become all too easy of a target during the Civil War. Soldiers, they scaled up the tower and would go on to wreak havoc. They destroyed the lanterns and the lens. And what wasn't badly damaged during the Civil War was destroyed during the extreme harsh winter of 1871. And the original lighthouse was no more. No one really mourned this lighthouse. Thousands of ships had been destroyed in that area, and countless men went to their watery graves. Yes, no mourning indeed. In 1868, Congress appropriated $80,000 to have a new beacon constructed at Cape Hatteras. The cost, however, went way over, the total being at $167,000. It was first displayed on the 16th of December in 1871, and 48 years later, the future of the lighthouse was at stake. Hauntedrooms.com goes into more detail. By 1919, it became increasingly clear that the beautiful new lighthouse was in danger of being destroyed. Over time, the Atlantic had slowly begun to eat away at the beach. By 1919, the ocean was a mere 120 feet away from the base of the lighthouse. In 1935, the ocean finally crept up to the tower. Several different attempts were made to control the incoming sea, but to no avail. A tower with a light beacon was therefore constructed and built on top of a large sand dune, 166 feet above sea level. The lighthouse was officially out of commission. So we know the lighthouse was in hot water during the Civil War, and it found itself in trouble again during the 1940s. Enter the Second World War. German U-boats were stalking the area, destroying ships left and right. And the lighthouse, it was in the middle of it all. Now, thankfully, the Coast Guard takes advantage of that location, and they were able to use the Hatteras Lighthouse as a lookout station for the next several years during the war. Now, yet again, the lighthouse's existence was at stake when, in more recent times, this time being in 1999, the sea is getting closer, once more, to the lighthouse, threatening it every second of the day. It was moved, which is pretty impressive as it weighs around 5,000 tons. And today it remains a safe 1,500 feet away from shore. But one must ask, When will history repeat itself? And when will it be in danger once more from those ever so unforgiving waters? Before I started this episode, I looked up Buxton and to see how to, you know, pronounce it, because I butcher words, as you all know. And it showed all of these houses, and I've seen this in New Orleans, and they're on these tall wooden stands or stilts or whatever you want to call it. You can fit a tractor under there and then some. And it showed these houses, and it said, oh yeah, they were like 300 feet away from the ocean, and they were just getting pounded. And when hurricanes come, more houses crumble and go into the sea. And these aren't just tiny little houses. I mean, every house that's destroyed during a catastrophic event or just in general, that's heartbreaking, because that means somebody's home is getting destroyed, all their things. But these are like mansions on these, like, it's just amazing. And just watching the videos, literally when they were doing this video, the newscaster was like, I'm standing at the site where a house just went down an hour ago. It's like, wow, that's like scary stuff. And so I'm happy that when I'm in North Carolina, I'm about a good 25 minutes away from the beach. So we're a good distance away for sure. But my heart always goes out to those who are a little bit too close. Ghost ships have been seen navigating through the area. And with all the ships that went to their watery graves or simply just vanished, it's no shocker that ghost ships lurk throughout this area. Now, the most popular and most seen ghost ship that navigates these waters is the Carol A. Deering. And it was last seen making its way to Barbados in 1921. And it's one of several that I talked about before in my Bermuda Triangle series, episode 307, titled Final Destination Into a Watery Grave, the Bermuda Triangle Part 2. That series was very interesting, and if you haven't heard them yet, I recommend going back, checking them out, and there's four episodes in that particular series. The Carol Deering was found in close proximity to the lighthouse in January of 1921. It was abandoned. Items that should have been there were noticeably nowhere to be found, like the logbook. I mean, every single ship has one of those. Where was the Carol A. Deering's logbook? Also missing were tools that, again, each ship would have had on board. What was most eerie was the table. It had freshly made, at the time at least, meals for the crew. Meals that were placed at the table and ready to be scarfed down, but they remained untouched. And the crew? Not a trace, not a single man. Where did the men go? What happened to them? Were they kidnapped? Murdered? Did something go wrong right before dinner time and they had to abandon ship on their own? Did they suffer a freak accident and fall into the unforgiving icy waters of the Atlantic and drown? I mean, there's just so many things that could have happened to them, but what exactly took place that fateful day? It remains an utter mystery. But to this day, people have claimed to see the Carol A. Deering in the water being navigated by none other than the ghostly crew. Haunted Rooms talks more about the Deering. On the morning of January 31st, the Cape Hatteras Coast Guard saw the ship grounded in the Atlantic graveyard. Investigating the ship took several attempts due to a storm passing through. When local officials were finally able to safely reach the boat, they left with more questions than answers. There was no sign of any crew members, the anchors, navigational equipment, and the crew's belongings were all missing, as were all the schooner's lifeboats. A large meal had been meticulously made and set out on the table, but was left abandoned. To this day, nobody is certain what happened on board the Deering. Many suspect that the ship became overrun by pirates, who killed the entire crew to take what they wished. Others hope that the crew members were able to flee in the missing lifeboats, but the extreme weather during that time suggests the crew might have succumbed to drowning, even if they had been able to get away. We will sadly, likely never know. But many wonder if the souls of the Deering crew linger in the area, in the hopes that someday they will be put to rest. Besides ghost ships, the area also has a feline spirit roaming about. Sounds like my cat Buttercup. The lighthouse is home to a phantom cat, and it's reported to be white and black, and it weighs around 20, 25 pounds. And I look at my cat Buttercup, who's like 6 pounds at her best, and I think, my lord, that is a hefty cat, this phantom cat, indeed. I read from hauntedus.com. Cape Hatteras Lighthouse's chunky ghost cat is apparently a people lover as well. Not one to be shy, the ghost cat has reportedly run up to visitors. Some have claimed to feel the cat rub up against their legs, wanting attention like any other cat. But whenever anyone tries to reach out to pet or pick up the cat, it vanishes before their eyes. While no one knows the identity of this phantom feline for sure, many figure it is a former lighthouse keeper's cat, forever roaming in spirit, unquote. Now, it's said that there is a spirit known as the Gray Man here that wanders about. And a few years ago, I did an episode about a spirit known as the Gray Man, and he was located in Pawleys Island in South Carolina, often coming right before hurricanes to warn people. If you haven't heard that episode, I recommend checking that bad boy out. Episode number 212, titled The Gray Man of Pawleys Island. Now, it's said that since the earlier part of the 1900s, the Gray Man in North Carolina, he's made his presence known. The apparition has been seen in close proximity to the lighthouse itself. And like the Gray Man of Pawleys Island, the Gray Man of Hatteras Lighthouse warns people when horrible storms are approaching before they make landfall. Witnesses have seen him vanish before their very eyes, just like that phantom kitty. Folks who have visited the area, they have also experienced things like hearing cries, disembodied footsteps, feeling unexplained cold gusts and cold spots, seeing apparitions, seeing the ghost ship, seeing shadow figures, and much more. Now today, you can come and visit this beautiful lighthouse. It's still active, controlled by the Coast Guard, and see if you have your own experience. And if you are feeling up to it, you can enter the lighthouse and climb its 254 steps. And let's just say you can't get a better view of the sea than up there, my friends. Oh, yeah. And remember, pirate lovers, Hatteras is not far from the site Ocracoke Island, where the notorious pirate Blackbeard met his bloody end, his head being chopped off. Many folks have claimed to see his headless apparition. That would be quite the sight, if I do say so myself.
Concludes another fantastic podcast. Legend has it, if you don't tune in, I'll be returning to haunt you. So make sure to tune in for the next episode.
Did you enjoy this week's episode? Listen to the others, they are all fantastic. Haven't heard every single damn one yet? Well, there's really no need to fret, my friends. Just hit up any of those podcast platforms, such as Podbean, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Player FM, Blueberry, wherever you may roam to hear your other spooky podcasts. You'll probably find Paranormal Prowlers Podcast lurking in the background. Thanks for stopping by, everyone, and
I will see you next week.